You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The National Institute for Civil Discourse is creating 50 state advisory boards in the United States, with the first one being right here in Idaho. And it will include some unlikely allies. The role of the Institute is to promote civil discourse in each state. It was established in 2011 after the tragic Tucson shooting that killed 6 and injured 13, including former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Here in Idaho, prominent Republicans and Democrats will join the board and work to, quote, discuss their differences in a civil and productive manner. Keith Allred ran as a Democrat against former Republican Governor Butch Otter in 2010, and Keith is now the executive director of the National Institute for Civil Discourse, and former Governor Otter is joining the new Idaho board. Walt Minnick, who represented Idaho in the first district as a Democrat, is also joining the board. All three are joining me in studio. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Keith, I'd like to start with you. For folks who don't know, how did the Institute, you know, get started, but also what's the mission behind it?
Yeah, you know, there's a part of the story there. You mentioned the Tucson shooting mm-hmm. as being part of the inspiration, but there's an important part of the story a lot of people don't know. In the weeks prior to the Tucson shooting, Gabby Giffords was talking to the University of Arizona about establishing an institute for civil discourse. She was worried about the erosion of civility in the United States Congress and in the country at large, and thought something needed to be done about it. So in the wake of that tragic shooting, the people of Tucson and the University of Arizona didn't want that to be the final chapter in that story, and wanted the best way to honor what she was trying to do and keep the story going was to establish a National Institute for Civil Discourse. And that was such a galvanizing event in 2011. It really gave them a kind of convening power. So the founding co-chairs were Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush, and they attracted also to the board Sandra Day O'Connor and Tom Daschle and Katie Couric and Colin Powell and Madeleine Albright. So just a very impressive board. Mm-hmm. And so made quite a splash from the beginning in 2011, and have had a major presence in the nation since.
And here we are 8 years later, though, and one could argue that civil discourse has kind of gone down the drain in a lot of ways. Walt, former Governor Otter, why is it important then to establish something right here in our state?
Well, because we all live here, and regardless of party, we have similar interests, and if we can't work together, we can't do our jobs.
Governor Otter.
Well, I have found both when I was in Congress and also as governor that the best public policy is generated from a bipartisan field. And in fact, the Western Governors, which is probably one of the most effective organizations I've ever been part of, we made it a habit of leaving our party credentials at the door so that we could get things done. And as a result of that, of all the governor's organizations, and I might be just a little bit biased here, but we got more done as Western governors because of that. And we just felt like as long as we could generate both sides in a very vigorous way, mm-hmm. but then render that down to a public policy that at least tried to satisfy what the question was, we found we were successful. And I think almost all 19 Western governors would tell you the same thing.
Do you think that when you take that Republican and that Democrat title away, and especially when you look at the West, do you find more commonalities within people if you get rid of those so-called titles?
Yeah, you know, our experience running the Common Interest in Idaho, the citizens group that I led here, where we had 1,700 Republicans, Democrats, and independents, and we just tried to focus on practical, specific issues. Mm-hmm. And, our operating rule was if we could find a 2/3 consensus among our cross-partisan membership, then we'd champion that in the Idaho legislature. You know, the interesting thing is we usually hit that threshold. It wasn't actually that hard. If you really sat down, you know, if we'd ask a general question like should government be bigger or smaller, we wouldn't have gotten an agreement. But if we asked really specific, hey, here's a problem, what are the best ways to address it, you know, you often could, where it wasn't about Republican or Democrat, mm-hmm. just what's the right answer. And, you know, I want to follow up on a point that Butch was making. He was making this point that, you know, you tend to get better policy. The policy that can get support from both parties tends to be better. And that's a deeply American idea. One of the things that Butch and I have always shared is kind of a love for the founders. And, you know, James Madison made that argument in Federalist Number 51, that in the diverse Republic of the United States, if you could get a majority across all those lines, that that was more likely to be based on what he called principles of justice and the general good. So I think that's built right into the Constitution, that it's never going to work in a republic for one group to impose their will on everybody else. So what's left? We've got to find solutions that can attract support beyond the base of one party or the other.
And Representative Minnick, you spent time on Capitol Hill in your former role as representative. What did you find in that position in the sense of finding that common ground?
Well, Mike Simpson and I were very good personal friends, even when I was campaigning. He went out of his way to be ensure that I had the background I needed. And when we served together, we would talk together two or three times a day on the floor, sometimes join each other's common meetings on Idaho issues in one or the other's office. And at the end of the congressional session, there was one flight west to Salt Lake. we'd always both be on it. And when we get to Idaho Falls, he'd have an hour to wait for his plane to Idaho Falls, and I'd have, excuse me, to Salt Lake, he'd have a half hour to wait for his flight, and I'd have an hour to wait for my flight to Boise, and we'd spend the time together. I'm going to say it was a cafeteria, but it might have been less formal than that, solving the problems of the day. And I suspect when he served with Butch, he did the same thing.
I'm speaking with former Governor Butch Otter, former Congressman Walt Minnick, and Keith Allred, the head of the National Institute for Civil Discourse. We're talking about a location of the National Institute for Civil Discourse being located in Idaho. And Keith, you're the executive director of this. Why did you decide to take this on?
Yeah, first I have to say, it was not an easy decision. You know, we were living in Eagle and had our 5 acres and would look across our horse pasture up at Bogus and just loved our lives here. Fifth generation Idahoan, so it's deep in my bones. But we were preparing to launch the federal version of the citizens group we ran here in Idaho, the Common Interest. We call the federal version the Common Sense American. I had worked with NICD in the past, and they knew I was working on that. So they called, and they said, "We hear you're getting ready to launch." And I said, "Yeah, we are." And they said, "Well, we've got an idea. Why don't you come be the executive director here and make Common Sense American one of those programs? And, you know, we think you need a little bigger platform than working out of your office off the garage in Eagle, Idaho."
You're like, "I like that office."
I like it a lot. But with that board and, you know, an office near the White House and a staff and a national reputation in the national press all the time, that was just an offer we really couldn't turn down, because I really think it is a moment in American history where there's a crisis of civility, a crisis of being able to work across the party lines the way we've been talking about it. And I don't think this republic will work without it. So it was just a real honor to be asked to lead that effort. And frankly, I feel like I've had a blessed life in terms of my career, and I've never gotten up in the morning more excited to go do the work that I do.
You know, you bring up a good point about civility and that there is a crisis going on in our country with it right now. You have all been in politics for a long time. You have seen things change. In your opinions, would you say that we are in a time when it comes to civility that is at a level of a crisis, or have you seen it be this bad at different times?
Well, I tell you, I've gone through 25 races, all manner of opponents, 49 opponents, and I don't ever remember any of them being as vitriolic as some of these races that I'm starting to see right here in Idaho, not only for the Idaho legislature, but for Congress, for governor, for the other six constitutional offices. And it's alarming. It's alarming because, you know, the best form of flattery is to act out how your heroes act out. And in many ways, some of these candidates are the heroes of the children sitting in kindergarten, not kindergarten maybe, but junior high today. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken to a lot of classes that, you know, they want to know how I got interested and why I went through the path that I did. And so it tells me that they're watching and they'll start acting like we act. And I hope with this organization on civil discourse, they'll start acting like that.
Congressman?
You know, I think this session of the legislature, just watching it from the outside, was as dysfunctional and vitriolic as any as I've seen in my 45 years in Idaho. And it wasn't because they were bad people or had bad ideas. It's just that they spent their time talking beyond each other and very little time sitting down with each other and trying to admit that the best thing for Idaho is someplace in the middle on some of these contentious issues. It was either my way or the highway, and that's not the way to get legislation done. It's not the way to serve in any legislative body.
Gemma, here's what I think is different about the current historical moment, different than any other in 230 years under the Constitution. We have been deeply divided before, mm-hmm. and it's become very uncivil. I mean, we had a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
The 1960s were pretty tough over Vietnam and civil rights. But in each of those cases where we've been arguably more deeply divided than we are now, it did not break cleanly along partisan lines. The run-up to the Civil War crossed partisan lines. It redid the party system. The Republican Party was born out of the coalition against slavery. A higher percentage of Republicans voted for the Civil Rights Act of 1964 than Democrats. So it didn't break cleanly along partisan lines. What has changed is that the two parties have sorted ideologically. For the vast majority of our 230 years under the Constitution, in each party, you had a range of liberals, moderates, and conservatives. That's no longer true, and it's given more weight to the extremes and less moderation than to work across the ideological spectrum. And so I think we're really in different waters than we've ever been before. And our system won't work if we can't find broadly supported solutions. And it's increasingly hard for the two parties to do that. So I think it really is a serious historic challenge.
I want to talk a little bit more about that. I need to take a quick break and we'll come back. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. I'm speaking with Keith Allred. He ran as a Democrat against former Republican Governor Butch Otter in 2010. I'm also speaking with former Governor Butch Otter, as well as former Congressman Walt Minnick, who represented Idaho in the 1st District as a Democrat. We are today talking about the Institute for Civil Discourse, because it is creating 50 state advisory boards across the U.S., the first one being right here in Idaho. And I want to get back to the point that you made, Keith, about how things have changed. And Governor Otter, I know you wanted to maybe speak on what Keith had talked about before we took that quick break.
Well, I've got a good personal experience from a great friend of mine, God rest his soul, and it was former Senator Jim McClure. When I was first elected to Congress and took office in 2001, within a couple of months, I think it was, Senator McClure invited me to dinner. So I went to dinner, and I said to him at that time, I'd had just maybe a couple of months under my belt, and I said, has it always been this nasty back here? I thought it was nasty then and disagreeable. And he said, no, Butch, we are a victim of technology. And he said, when I first came to Congress in the early 60s, we got to go home maybe four times a year. And so we would then stay in town. We had our families back here. On the weekends, when we didn't go home, we would have backyard barbecues, and we would invite our colleagues from, whether Democrat or Republican, across the aisle to come to the barbecue in our backyard, and our kids would play together. Your problem is the only time you see each other is when you're disagreeing or fighting over something in committee or on the floor. and you've got 5 minutes or 2 minutes or whatever it may be, whatever leadership gives you to speak on a subject, to say that. And so sometimes what happens in the rush to get your point across, it becomes very personal.
Mm.
And he said, so transportation technology has added to our dysfunction because we don't know each other. We only know the person across from us in the committee room or the person across the aisle from us on the floor of the mm-hmm. House. So I thought that was a great point. But we need to accommodate that, I believe, into our civil discourse.
And what's interesting to me in that is I tend to believe that we all have more in common than we don't. But we live in a time where it seems that we focus on what we don't see eye to eye on. And so by bringing this advisory board here to Idaho, why Idaho? I mean, is it because are we so divided in our state right now that they're starting with us first? Or is it the opposite of that?
Yeah. Well, it could have a little something to do with the fact that the executive director is a fifth-generation Idahoan.
That could be it.
I'll confess that. But, you know, Idaho really has led in some important ways. Common Sense American, this new program that we're launching at NICD and led them to recruit me, was piloted here in Idaho. That's mm-hmm. that's what we ran. We have another program at NICD called Next Generation, where we do civil discourse workshops for entire legislatures. Idaho was the first entire legislature for us to do, and the leaders of the Idaho legislature have really helped us take that to other states in the country. Brent Hill and Scott Bedke have been huge fans and supporters, along with Chuck Winder and Melissa Wintrow, who was a national co-chair of ours, all from the Idaho legislature. So they led that way. You know, the Statesman, I think Boise State Public Radio was involved in this. Boise City Club had a whole civility initiative with that. So there's been a lot of focus on civility here in Idaho. So I think it is a good example. That said, that doesn't mean that we always get it right. And I think I agree with Walt. And, I've talked to leaders in the legislature in both chambers and on both sides, and they, I think, agree that the last session was one of the toughest. So this is after we've done some of this work. So it doesn't mm-hmm. guarantee that, things don't get tough again, and we don't sometimes lose our commitment to civil discourse. But you don't just throw up your hands and say, oh, well, you got to come back right to it.
You don't do that Hollywood storm out, as I call it.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't do the Hollywood storm out. In fact, I had the pleasure of being with Speaker Bedke and President Pro Tem Hill and Majority Leader Winder in Boston at the State Legislative Leaders Foundation just last week, where we had a panel on that. And you know, even among them, they were all Republicans. The Senate and the House had some issues, and but they were committed to, you know, and they're in Boston. They kind of ironed some of it out and cleared the air. And so, you know, we're not holding ourselves out in Idaho as being perfect, but I think we are holding ourselves out as being committed.
So how does a state advisory board honestly make a difference and bring this down to a level that the average citizen can become committed as well?
One of the things that led me to accept the invitation to lead the National Institute for Civil Discourse is they really work on providing concrete opportunities for people to do something about it. And I think that's the key. We want to be a voice arguing for the principle and the commitment to it, but we also want to provide concrete opportunities. And one of those is that, you know, every Idahoan, every American is invited to join Common Sense American. You can do that at commonsenseamerican.org. And you make a commitment to spend 90 minutes per year reviewing a policy brief you get randomly assigned to and weighing in and then sharing your own views with a member of Congress. So, and that's part of what the advisory board will do, will help us think through what are the other kind of concrete things we can do to advance this cause as leaders. What kind of opportunities can we create for citizens to get involved?
And then how do we get lawmakers to actually listen and do something?
Well, I think you have to prepare the environment for it. You actually have to create that. And the first touchstone for almost any candidate is their party. If they're going to run as a Republican or they're going to run as a Democrat or they're going to run as an independent, they go to their party leadership and they say, you know, I want to run for this office. So I think that's why it's so important that you have a bipartisan group that comes together, that you have Republicans and Democrats and independents and constitutionalists and the whole myriad of party focus, so that those legislators, and we just talked a little bit about whether or not this was a good session or a bad session, and I think there were some good things that came out of it. And I would hope that they will focus on those next year and continue that trend. But I think it's important that when a person gets involved in the party and the party itself, as I say, the bipartisanship, that they have to understand that you can't do it all with just one party. Even though you may be very dominant, you can have a veto-proof House and Senate. I went through several of those. But it doesn't make any difference. You still have to have good public policy. And that is generally rendered from both sides being included in the discussions.
I want to thank all of you for coming in today. I've been speaking with former Governor Butch Otter, former Congressman Walt Minnick, and Keith Allred, the head of the National Institute for Civil Discourse. Thank you again for the conversation. I appreciate all of you coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.